Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I failed to mention this. Keep praying for Brother C. He's doing okay. His strength is not good right now, so just pray for him with his strength. Your adrenaline system is what gives you your energy, and when you got cancer in it, and then they're giving you chemo and immunotherapy on top of that, it just kind of sucks it out of you. So keep praying for him, if you will. Revelation chapter 12, we're going to look at one verse here, but keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them some tonight. Again, we're talking about the different titles of the devil. Revelation chapter 12, look at verse number, let's start back in verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For this the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. I want you to notice that statement, the accuser of our brethren. We're going to talk tonight about the devil as the accuser of the brethren. We've looked at many different titles, and the name devil, Satan, Lucifer, the serpent, we saw several of those mentioned in verse number 9. Those are all titles. And remember, back in Ephesians, it says that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. One of those devices that he has, and I believe God warns us this way, that's why God calls the devil so many different names. He attacks, he's the same person, but he attacks from so many different directions. And tonight, we're going to look at this. Now, I want you to notice verse number 9 with me again. And the great dragon, that's one of his names, was cast out. That old serpent, talked about that last week, called the devil a couple weeks ago. And Satan, another one, which deceiveth the whole world, was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now look down at verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. That's talking about the devil. Okay, which accuseth them before God day and night. And I want you to notice something, and I'll touch on this again. When we use that term accuser of the brethren, I want you to notice something. It doesn't say false accuser. The devil doesn't go to God to accuse you of lies. He's accusing us of our sin that we do commit. That's a little different. Now, tonight I want to talk about it. What does the word accuser mean? Well, it's a legal word. The word accuser means against one in the assembly or a complaint by law. If you were in a lawsuit, you have different terms that are used. And usually the accuser is the one seeking restitution for something done wrong to them. That would be the one accusing you of the wrongdoing that they believe you have done. Does that make sense to everybody? If you painted your house pink and the HOA said you can't have a pink house, then the HOA would be the accuser and you would be the one having to defend yourself. That is exactly what the devil is, not an HOA, but he's the one that is accusing us before God. Now, he accuses us of the real wrong we've done. Everybody look at me. Even though you're saved, you still sin. We had a couple idiots in Bible college when I was going to college that thought you could be so good that you could go days and weeks and months without sinning. Oh, yeah, they were. You find all kinds of kooks at Bible college every once in a while. They come out of the woodwork. And Brother Hiles got word of it. And in chapel, he called them by name and kicked them out of college. Right in the middle of chapel, said, "I want you to meet me afterwards and bring your things because you're not going to be back tomorrow." It was a quiet chapel service, let me tell you. You remember that one, Liam? Oh, it was exciting. He didn't. You get into bad doctrine, he didn't fool around with it. You didn't have a second chance. And when you go around a Bible college campus saying, "Well, you can go weeks with no sin," well, they committed the unpardonable one there, let me tell you. But that is the term, the accuser of the brethren. Now, the accuser is a legal complaint. Everybody look at me. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside the body of the believers. He's here on the earth. Jesus is not here on the earth. Please don't get mad at me when I say this, but it's a true statement. When you got saved, you accepted what Jesus did, but Jesus doesn't come into your heart. The Holy Spirit does.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father right now. Why is he seated at the right? By the way, you better be glad Jesus didn't come to your heart, because then there would be nobody there to defend you against the devil. God is the judge of the universe, and Satan stands before God accusing us. Jesus stands there and says, "It's under the blood. It didn't happen, God. It's already paid for." We'll get to that in a second, but I want to show you how the devil works. Go to Job chapter 1. Job, or some of you, the book of Job. Job chapter 1. And I want you to notice the verbiage here. I want you to notice the words God chooses to use here. Look at verse number 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God," those are saved people, "came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." Look at me. Guess what? He was bothering people in the Old Testament too. Look at verse 7. "And the Lord said unto whom?"
Satan.
"Satan, whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." What was that? God was blessing Job's tithing as well as his work. And God wouldn't let Satan touch it until he got permission. That's why in Malachi, it says that he would rebuke the devourer. Look at verse 11. "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Now look at me. The devil went to God himself asking for somebody to prove that they would not be able to take what Satan dished out and still be a good Christian. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered to the Lord, From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, man, all that a man hath, he will give his life for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. Now I want you to notice something. Did you know the devil did not accuse Job of anything that wasn't true? Say, well, Job wasn't sinful. Job was a sinner. He was looking for somebody that would curse God because he was going through a hard time. God said, you don't know Job like I know Job. He said, go ahead, take all that he has. Second time he said, go ahead, take his health, but don't kill him. All that being said, now watch this. All that being said, in all this, the Bible says, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Now, not one time does it say that God told Job it was coming. God was relying on the walk with God that Job had. And he said, okay, I'll take my hand of blessing off of him to the point of allowing you to get to him, but he's still going to be faithful. We know the story. We know what happened to Job, all the things that he lost. But what happened was this. This is what you miss in all of this. As the accuser, that was the devil going before God the Father in a legal case. It was like a courtroom scene. And the devil was accusing Job before God. The devil has legal access to God right now. The devil's not in hell right now. Say, where is he? Probably Washington, D.C. Quite possibly United Nations. The devil is the prince and power of the air. He's in the news media. He's in liberalism. Guaranteed he's in the mayor's office in New York City. But the devil has legal access to God. Say, why is that, preacher? Because remember Lucifer? Now listen to me. Lucifer was an archangel. Lucifer was in charge of a very great group of angels in heaven, and probably, my opinion, that's all it is, probably the angels that ministered before Jesus. Now, hang on to this for a second. One day he will be condemned to hell, but he's not there right now. That's what the 1,000-year judgment will be after or during the millennium. He'll spend his first 1,000 years in hell there, but, and death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. He's going to be pulled out of hell after 1,000 years with everybody at the great white throne judgment, be judged, get his final punishment, and then he'll be at the bottom underneath at the hottest part of hell leading the charge. And I can't wait to see it happen. Amen. Now, all that being said, Satan right now, the devil right now, has access to God in a legal forum to say, hey, that person, Brother Steve Whiff, has sinned. We know that. Peggy knows it more than anybody. He has sinned. And God the Father looks at the Son, and the Son holds his hands up and he said, Father, it's under the blood. And that's why in the book of 1 John, and I'm not going there right now, it talks about those who are saved as though they have not sinned. Because in God's eyes, in God's economy for our eternity, our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. They're cleansed. They're not there. They've been taken away and never to be looked at ever again. He is accusing us of what we do wrong, but because of salvation, Jesus stands there, and that's coming in a second here. But I want you to notice there's no false evidence, there's evidence. What he says is true. He saw what you did today. He saw what you looked at. He listened to what you listened to. He stands before God with the reality of what we said, heard, and did today, yet, because of salvation, it's covered. Number three, if we're saved, Jesus stands as our advocate. And another word for advocate is lawyer. He is our lawyer that stands before God the Father because we can't be there. He stands in our place and he leads the charge for us. He's in court every day for us. I don't know about you. I'd rather have Jesus as my lawyer than anybody. That's better than, what's the guy's name that defended O.J. Simpson? What was that? Yeah, Johnny Cochran. Better than Johnny Cochran any day. look at 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you what? And everybody look at me. It's impossible for you not to sin. God doesn't want us to sin. In other words, we're to not live to where we're trying to sin. Let's read on. And if any man sin. If God ever made a mistake there, it should say, and when any man sins. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now look at me. Jesus is there in heaven as our advocate. Say, what right does he have to defend us? Because at the moment you get saved, not only is your sin wiped away, I want you to notice what verse 2 says. Jesus Christ the what? Righteous. Do you remember what happens at salvation? Not only is our sin forgiven, not only is it wiped away, not only is it covered by the blood, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to our account. So that all God sees is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not our debts. All he sees is the credit account, not the debit line. It'd be like your checkbook is all you could see was every time you made a deposit. And there's no debits. Wouldn't that be a nice thing? But can I tell you something? In heaven, that's exactly what it is. When you got saved, all God can see is the deposit of Jesus' righteousness, and there are no checks written against it. It is still intact. That's why it says we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ. Notice the next two words, the righteous. That righteousness is what keeps us from losing our salvation. You see, we can't enter heaven unrighteous. Go back to Romans chapter 10 with me. Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, verse number 3, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Look at me. Salvation, you get people out there that say, oh, you have to repent of all your sins. Can I tell you something? They're a bunch of numbskulls. You don't repent of all your sins. Oh, preacher. No. You can't. You don't remember them all. And there's some you did, you didn't know you did. And there's some you forgot about, and there's some you want to forget about. But salvation is going from trusting your own righteousness, your own goodness, your own works, your own way, to realizing you need a Savior and trusting what the righteous one did for you and accepting what Jesus did, and all that righteousness is added to your account. That's what Romans 10:3 says. And they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Is repentance needed for salvation? Yes, but it doesn't mean changing direction from all your sin. It is the change of direction from trusting your own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The act of getting saved is repentance. You don't repent to get saved. You repent by getting saved. Does that make sense to everybody? You're not turning from sin. You're turning from your own righteousness to accepting the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You realize you're a sinner. You realize that your righteousness is as filthy rags. You realize your righteousness is tainted by sin and it's not good enough, and you needed a Savior. And you say, I'll trust what Jesus did and all that he did for me. That righteousness buys you into heaven. These idiots at college that thought they could be sinless. Can I tell you something? Even if they could be, which they were not, but even if they could be, they'd die and go to hell. It's not just the absence of sin. It is the presence of righteousness that gets us to heaven. You could go sinless and die and go to hell because you don't have any righteousness. How much righteousness does it take? 33 years of Jesus' life. I don't think we qualify, do we? So it is not just the fact that Jesus stands there as our lawyer. He stands there as the righteous one, and his account was put onto our account, and God looks at it and says, Satan, I don't know what you're talking about, because all I see is the righteousness that Jesus did. Go pound sand somewhere else. And the devil goes off mad again. You see, it's not the absence of our doing of wrong, but the presence of Jesus is right that makes us clean in God's account. It's not by what we do, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. You see, we're not saved by our works. Boy, that's good stuff. Jesus is our lawyer, our advocate, to answer to God on the case. What does he use? His righteousness. What does he use? His blood. Father, it's covered by the blood. It is all I see is the righteousness of my life. And that's on his account. And in God's economy, there's no checks. There's no debits. It's just all cash in. Man, I'd like to cash in on that. Get saved. It's good stuff. Because Jesus is our advocate, Lucifer once again tries to be like Jesus and tries to battle us. Again, my opinion is that the archangels were like assistants to the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there's three in one. You had three archangels, Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer. And I believe the one that was assigned to Jesus was Lucifer. He tries to be most like him. That's why he'll be called the Antichrist. Hello? Now, you don't have to agree with me on that opinion. That's mine. I got a lot of Bible to back it up, in my opinion. But if you disagree with me on that, that's fine. It's not going to change doctrine one lick in the Bible. But it will tell you this. Who's he trying most to be like? Who's he trying to bring down? Oh, years ago I preached a sermon called The Biggest Sucker Punch in History. God used Satan to kill Jesus. You say, why do you call that the biggest sucker punch? Because the Bible says, had he known that Jesus would resurrect from the grave, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He said, come on, devil, go ahead, put me down. But 3 days and three nights later, I'm getting back up. And the devil killed him. And guess what? 3 days and three nights later, Sunday came. And the Bible says that had he known that he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's what you call a sucker punch. I think I titled the sermon, Thank the Devil for Salvation. God even used the stupid old devil to help us get saved. You talk about making him mad. That did it, I'm sure. So, if we're saved, Jesus stands there as our advocate. Can you see it now in the courtroom? The two lawyers arguing before the judge. And the judge saying, where's your evidence? Well, here's what he's done. And he looked to the other lawyer. He said, any rebuttal? Yes, sir. Look at their record. And he looks at the record, and as all he sees is the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he said, I have no idea what you're talking about. There's nothing on his record. That's why you need Jesus standing at the Father's right hand, dealing with the accuser. Next. And let me say this before I go too much farther. Do you realize how powerful the devil is? Go back to Revelation chapter 12 with me. I want you to see how powerful and persuasive the devil is. Verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. Watch this. And his angels were cast out with him. Now, there are people that will tell you it was one third of the angels. I have no idea. That's an assumption. Nowhere does the Bible say that. It says his angels went with him, though. I can't tell you that that's a bad assumption, but I can't tell you that that's true. But we know that he was able to take some of the angels in heaven who had never sinned, who had never been around sin, who had never even known what sin was, and he was persuasive enough to where they followed him and not Jesus Christ. Take a sinless environment and lead people against the Savior. That's a pretty powerful feller. Everybody look at me for just a second. Boys and girls, look at me too. The devil is not somebody to play with. He's a very powerful being. We have made light of the devil's power. Preacher preaches hard against the devil. I make no bones about it. Say why? I preach hard against the devil's powers. Harry Potter, witchcraft, video games. And I'm going farther with it. Even a lot of this new tech and stuff is borderline satanic. Brother Arcola and I were talking today about AI and different things, and it's no wonder we're headed to a time where the Antichrist can take over in a moment of time. GPS. So all the devil has to do is one push of the button and say, okay, no churches that preach the gospel can be on GPS, and nobody could find them anymore. Some of you can't even go home without turning your GPS on. Hello? What if your GPS doesn't even show up on it? They can control what's on the internet. And you can see how quickly the devil could. Look how fast COVID took over. And I said this back in 2019. It was a precursor to the Antichrist. It was a test run. I believe that with all my heart. You could feel the evil presence of old Smutty Face himself at the onset of that. If you had any spiritual sense of any kind, you could sense the evil going on with that. And then you got Dr. Fauci. I am science. You am Antichrist. You say, preacher, why do you preach so hard against some of these things? Because you don't see the end from the beginning like God does. Well, it's just entertainment. It's just fun. It's just fiction. It's just, no. You don't play with that kind of thing. You're not going to buy your child a rattlesnake to play with. You're not going to buy a king cobra for your children to play with. You say, but preacher, it's not that bad. You might as well. You're playing with the devil. If he could take the angels of heaven and a large portion of them in a sinless environment where God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were reigning, watch this, if he could get them to follow him there, what chance do we have down here? That's a powerful being. I'm going to get in trouble, but so be it. I'm talking about the Marvel comics and the Marvel characters, Star Wars and all this other garbage. I just hit Brother Kevin saying amen. Now, wait a second here. Look at how much of it, the powers of evil. Power Rangers for children. Okay, where do they get their power? Did you ever notice how the, hold your ears, kids, Spider-Man and Batman and all these, they all have dark powers, but they're trying to use it for good? Where are they getting their power? It's not God. Sorry. I know your spidey senses just went off. Folks, we don't realize how powerful the devil really, really is. Please listen to your preacher for a second. Don't let Disney and don't let Hollywood degrade what the devil really is to you. He is powerful enough to take sinless beings in a sinless environment and destroy them for eternity. He was able to take man in a sinless environment and destroy him. That's pretty powerful. Lastly, when we accuse, or we spread other people's sin, we become like the devil. When we accuse and when we spread other people's sin, we become just like the devil. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse number 16. Now, I want you to notice two words when we start this, and I'm going to stop so don't get too far ahead of me. Look at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord what? hate. Okay, mark that. Yea, seven are a what?
Abomination.
Abomination. Look at me. Hate is a pretty strong word. Abomination is hate on steroids. That's not in the Hebrew, but it's the best way I know how to define it. Abomination is hatred multiplied infinitely. So God says six of these things God hates, and the seven are an abomination to him. What are they? A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, Hollywood, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now I want you to notice, God says those seven things are an abomination to him. The last of which is the abomination, the others God hates. That seventh one is he that soweth discord among the brethren. What is discord? Well, it's a musical term. I'm not real super on a piano, but I do read music. But I can play a chord. That's three notes put together called a chord. This is not a chord. He that soweth discord among the brethren. See, what is that? Something's not right there. Yeah. That's somebody that's playing the wrong note at the wrong time. When you're in harmony with God, everything is in tune. But he that sows discord, that's somebody who goes around bearing the negative. That's churches that stand somebody up and make them tell you all the wrong that the young people have done because they did something that crossed the line. I heard some Baptist preacher, well-known Baptist preacher. He thinks he's well-known. He's an well-known idiot, in my opinion. He said, well, there's just certain sins that have to be brought before the church. I said, show me the list in the Bible. And he fumbled around and fumbled around and fumbled around. I said, there is none. I said, show me the list. He couldn't. And by the way, I don't associate with him. Happened to be where he was. He brought it up. I didn't. My daddy said, don't walk away from the fight. I didn't. I ended it right there. Took all the fight right out of him. Say, how'd you use that? Bible. We're not supposed to go around telling everybody's negative. Please don't get angry with me when I say this. That's one reason I don't do much. I don't like the prayer chains. Because a prayer chain usually ends up in a gossip chain and everybody's adding their opinion to what they just heard. And by the time somebody had a toenail removal, it's open heart surgery at the end of the line. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. And it's human nature to want to add our opinion to everything. I try not to insert my opinion too often. When I do, I generally say, this is my opinion. But may I say something? Sowing discord means you're going from person to person trying to stir up trouble. And God says that is an abomination to God. Gossip is an abomination to God. Listening to these things. Did you know gossip takes two things? It takes a mouth and it takes an ear. Why do you want somebody vomiting in your ear? Don't open your ear to let somebody barf in it. That's what gossip is. They're just spewing nastiness. Folks, I don't ask people all the bad things in their life. Tell me what I need to know for this situation. Brother Steve, when you were going through what you had to go through here year and a half or so ago. I said, tell me what I need to know so that I can help you. I remember what you said. You said, you don't want to know everything? I said, no, only what I need to know to help you. He said, you're the first preacher to call me that wasn't calling for information. I thought, how sad. I didn't even ask you who called you. I didn't want to know. Because I'd probably got mad and called him and told him what I thought. Say, what was that? I didn't need to know all the details. I needed to know how to help Steve and Peggy and Josh. That's all I needed to know. I still haven't asked you. Why? I don't need to know any more than I already know. I'm not trying to get all the dirt on somebody. Am I doing okay? I was sitting with a very famous preacher. I had been with him, had been befriended by him. I was with him one day, and he said, I'm going to tell you something. There's only two other people in the world that knew this, and one's in heaven. You'll be only one of two people in the world that know. Began to tell me some of the story of his life that he told nobody. Well, I happened to be friends with the other person he told. One day that preacher and I were together, and that person's name came up and said, yeah, he's had some pretty major heartaches. I said, yes, sir, I know. What do you know? I said, I know what you know. He said, how do you know? I said, because he told me, you know. And he said, is it in reference to? And he just used one word. I said, yes, sir. I said, let's not talk about it. He said, you're the only person in the world alive that knows that other than me. I said, I know that. I said, we don't need to talk about it. We just need to help our friend. And that's what we did. Do you know, to this day, that person and I have never talked about it? Say why? Don't need to. It's not needed. I'm not going around telling her, what was it, preacher? I'm not going to tell you either. Say why? You don't need to know. It's not going to help you, not going to help me, not going to help anybody else. Why do we need to sow discord? When we accuse people of wrongdoing, whether it be falsely or justified, we become like the devil. Well, you're just trying to cover somebody's sin. My critics out there, I hate independent Baptist fundamentalist people. The bitter people that think it's all God's fault that they have hurt feelings. They'll tell you, well, preachers like Brother Bush, they're just trying to hide people's sin. I don't have to try to hide it. God took care of it. It's under the blood. He hid it. I didn't. Who said I had to talk about everybody's sin? Show me one verse in the Bible that says I'm supposed to talk about somebody else's sin and make it public. Show me. God already knows we're sinners. And I've got enough of my own sin to keep me busy with God. Me bringing somebody else's sin up isn't going to help me at all with God. Everybody doing okay? It's covered by the blood. It's paid for by Jesus' righteousness. Why am I trying to write a check against an account I don't have access to? If I wrote a check for $500,000 and tried to cash it out of Brother Patrick's checking account, I could ride that thing to the moon and back. Say why? I can't cash a check out of his account that's my check. Hello? Why are we trying to write a check to God's account and we can't get anything out of it? You're trying to cash in something that's not yours to do. Boy, that's good stuff. Revelation 12 again. I'll finish. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Remember back in Job 1 and Job 2 that the devil went and accused Job of wrongdoing to God? Guess what? He didn't stop with Job. He's still doing it. But one day, God's going to kick old Smutty Face, open the bottomless pit, and boot his hindermost parts to Hades where it belongs. And all of us in heaven are going to throw a party like you ain't never seen before. And I'm just asking God if I can get close enough to get a shot in before he goes too far. You say, why, preacher? Because I'm sick and tired of seeing what the devil's done to so many people. The accuser, not the false accuser. But just remember, if you're saved, you've got the advocate, which is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And you don't have to worry about it in heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. The accuser. The accuser of our brethren. Let's not accuse the brethren of their wrongdoing and be like the devil. Let's decide we're going to be more like God than the devil. Let's not be accusers. Well, I know something, preacher. Well, not everybody needs to know that. Just keep it to yourself. Quit being nosy. Quit being wanting to have more information than somebody else. Just keep it to yourself and talk to God about it.